Good afternoon, Sister Dyer. Good afternoon, all Kandaki Queen Size listeners. I'd like to take the opportunity today to briefly speak to you about collecting reggae vinyl, in particular reggae vinyl from the 1960s and the 1970s. Now, you may wonder what is so different about collecting reggae vinyl than to any other genre of music, i.e. psychedelia or punk or classical or whatever you might like to collect. Well, the main difference is that a lot of reggae, especially 60s reggae, has been taken to sound systems, parties around other people's houses. A lot of it's been played on old-fashioned mono record players that probably haven't had the needle changed, the stylus changed at all. And also the extreme rarity of these items and the difficulty there is to get them in any kind of decent condition. Now, I'm very fortunate that I have quite a good record collection, but the kind of things that you have to look out for are, obviously, the condition may not be very good. And also, because people had such large families in the 60s, and all families did, you know, not just West Indian families, that quite often they have their name written on the label and on the sleeve as well, which would normally put people off buying them. It certainly would normally put me buying off the records. But the thing is that these records can be so rare that it's best to buy them while you can get them. And if you can find a copy in better condition without any writing on it, then at a later date, then by all means, go ahead and do so. But I just wouldn't miss the opportunity. Now, another thing is Jamaican pressings are extremely inferior in quality. And so they don't sound that great to start with. And if you ever look on well-known auction sites and see some of the condition of reggae records that are actually made in Jamaica, they look like someone has been ice skating on them. But again, if you can get them cheaply, I would suggest you do so like I do. I'm very fortunate also that I have a friend who has a record cleaning machine. Although they can't perform miracles, obviously they are able to improve a record to a certain extent. And I make a lot of allowances for reggae records because if they crackle, that doesn't bother me too much. If they stick or jump, then that's obviously a different matter because that's extremely irritating. Another thing is reggae artists tending to use different names, false names. For example, there's an Upsetters album called The Upsetters. The Upsetter and the Good, the Bad and the Ugly. Now, Lee Perry has no part in that record whatsoever. He has no part in the production. He has no vocals. He doesn't play any part in it whatsoever. So that's another thing to look out for. I don't actually own that album myself. And also, a lot of the really early records, early pressings of records, known as pre-releases, They were only pressed up, especially in Jamaica, with a white label. Now, the idea was that you'd have an exclusive tune to play at a dance or a blues party on a sound system and that none of your rivals knew what it was because it had a completely blank white label. Now, so that takes some searching as well. So it's a little bit like stamp collecting, but it makes it much more interesting. So there's plenty of information on YouTube about collecting reggae records. I personally read books about it myself, so that's where I get my information from. And I'm learning new things all the time, which is fantastic. Like the fact I mentioned about Lee Perry and the Good, the Bad and the Ugly album, that's a fact I only learned last night. So at my ripe old age of 60, I'm still learning all the time, which is a fantastic thing. Well, I say, so really, just buy what you can. Try and get it as cheaply as you can. Obviously, if it's completely ruined and it just will, you know, you look at it and it doesn't look like it's going to play, then maybe it's not worth bothering with. But on the other hand, we need to keep this music alive. You listen to a lot of reggae records on YouTube. The chances are you'll find that they crackle like nothing on earth. And one last thing, sometimes they even don't get the dates right. the release date. I've seen copies of Al Capone by Prince Buster, dated 1963, 1964 and 1965. Now, if anyone has any more information about when this was actually released, I would be really grateful if you'd let me know. Okay, thank you very much. Bye.